eating. One fellow said he wasn't going unless somebody takes him. Amen. So I guess that's about right. Good to be here tonight, this evening. Brother Robert was talking a while ago about that basket in the room. I appreciate that. I'll need that before the night's over. I've been a basket case all day. You know what I'm talking about. So much going on around the church and trying to drive over, 4-hour drive over here, and just a lot of things going on, kind of get you upset and nervous and tore up. You know, y'all don't have days like that, I don't guess, do you? I'll never forget the first church I pastored. One service was late. I like to be early. Everything I do, I can't stand late. I just like to be on time. And I was late, and we'd had a flat tire. And we got to the church, and a little boy there asked his mother what we was doing late. And she said they had a flat. And he said, "You mean preachers has flats too?" And he really meant that. And so I just about half prepared to preach. I was telling Brother Joe Bryant back here a while ago, I like these meetings better, Brother Robert, where somebody from the floor nominates somebody to preach. Brother Robert, I could make a better nomination today than I can bring a message, I promise you. And I was hoping Joe would preach. I have been kind of disturbed about what to preach. Let's all stand. Brother Robert, let me extend while you stand, everybody. Let me extend my thankfulness to you for letting us come again this year. I said humbly as I know how, preacher. I'm honored that you would be so kind to me year after year to invite me to come to your Jubilee and preach me. I appreciate that. Year after year, I've been here, and I'm honored deeply. I used to wonder why anybody would listen to me, why everybody didn't listen to me preach until I started listening to myself on tape. And now I wonder why anybody listens to me preach. And turn in your Bible, if you will, tonight to 1 Peter chapter number 1. I do want to be a blessing. I have struggled so very much about what I'm going to preach this evening. I tried to preach on this a little bit at the church earlier this year, and it didn't go over so well. I just mean I didn't get liberty to preach it, and I didn't do such a good job on it. And usually when you do one like that, you don't preach it again. But the Lord really dealt my heart this evening. This is what I need to deal with, and I hope to do a better job with it here than I did at our church. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, let's look there. And I'm honest, God knows my heart. I'd love to be a help this evening. I'd love to be a help to you in your heart. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, very familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible said, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and to the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you." What a statement. "Grace unto you." Did you know, by the way, I think every New Testament epistle, other than maybe two, has the statement beginning and concluding with "grace to you." God's favorite message to man is grace. 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 Paul opened every one of them up, "grace to you." And then he closed them, "grace to you." I'm glad that's God's favorite message to man. He said, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's bow to pray. Father, I want to thank you again, God, for the safety, Lord, upon the road today. I want to thank you, Lord, for letting us gather here this evening. I want to thank you, Lord, for those songs Brother Caldwell sang. Thank you, Lord. The Lord Jesus is everything to us tonight. I'm so glad, God, that though we're so weak and, Lord, so infirm in our bodies and minds, I'm so glad, dear God, that you're great. And, Lord, you're so powerful. And, Lord, you're so wonderful. And, God, you're so gracious to us. And, Lord, we thank you for that tonight. I pray, dear God, you'd help me now. You know the things that's went through my mind and the problems that's been around us this week. And, Lord Jesus, I'm praying for grace this evening. Lord, not for myself, but, God, to honor you. And, Lord, to be a blessing and a help to the people that are gathered here today. I don't know their hearts. I barely know my own. But I know, God, you can help us. And I pray that you would. Thank you, Brother Robert, and his wife and the church family, God, that's provided and prepared for this meeting this week. Bless them and help them, I pray, and then bless every man of God that preaches. And use this meeting, God, to better our lives and change us for your glory. And God, for what you do, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I'll tell you what a minute what I'm going to preach on. But as you look at these verses of Scripture, there's so many things here that you could preach about in 1 Peter. 1 Peter is one of my favorite books in the New Testament. And I look and I find here at least six sets of what I call triune truths. Six sets of triune truths. And what I mean by that, there are six things separately mentioned three times each. Look, if you will, in verse number 2. And you find the Trinity. Look here, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He mentions three times there, he's got the Trinity recorded, the triune Godhead, the Trinity. Then if you look in verse number, he mentions three times something about the appearance of the Lord. Look in verse number 3. Just let me coast out a minute. Verse number 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the incarnation in verse number 3. Then if you look in verse number 7, in the last statement, he says, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's the rapture. And then in verse number 13, he mentions at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you've got three truths, the Trinity mentioned here, the triune truth of the Trinity. Then you've got the triune truths of the appearances of our Lord in the incarnation, in the rapture, and in the revelation. And then you've got three times the grace of God is mentioned. In verse number 2, he mentions the grace unto you. And then if you'll notice again in verse number 12, he mentions, verse number 13 it is, he mentions the grace of God that's going to yet come. And then he mentions in verse 10, the grace of God again. So you've got the triune truths of the grace of God. And we'll deal with that maybe a little later. But then you look at faith. He mentions faith three times in this chapter. In verse number 5, just stay with me a minute. Look at your Bible. Keep your eye on your Bible. In verse number 5, he mentions the firmness of our faith, how we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Then in verse number 7, he mentions the firing of our faith, how that our faith is going to be tried with fire. And then in verse number 9, he mentions the finish of our faith, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. So there's at least five sets of triune truths already. He mentions the Trinity, three appearances of the Lord, the three workings of grace, the threefold aspect of salvation, the threefold aspect of faith. He mentions salvation in verse 5. He mentions salvation in verse 9. And he mentions salvation in verse 10. So you've got the threefold aspect of Trinity, the appearances of the Lord, the grace of God, salvation, and faith. Now, what I want to preach on this evening is the threefold aspect
of seeing our Lord. Look, if you will, please, and we'll look at this text as quickly as we can. He mentions in verse number 8, look at this verse. He mentions, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother Rudy, 1 Peter chapter number 1, I need your help there. 1 Peter chapter number 1. So here's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to preach on seeing the unseen Christ. Seeing the unseen Christ. He mentions three times something about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say number one. Look, if you will, please, and we'll get along with this pretty quick. But look in verse number 8 what he says. Whom having not seen. The first thing I want to mention is the past aspect of seeing the unseen Christ. The past aspect of seeing the unseen Christ. Notice what he said. Whom having not seen, you love. Now, may I say, though we have not seen Christ in the past. You know what Peter's saying here? Peter had seen the Lord in the past. Peter had walked with the Lord. Peter had lived with the Lord. Peter had heard the Lord preaching and all the miracles that the Lord done. I want to come to the second truth where I'm going to try to work my way up to. But here's what he said. We didn't see Him when we got saved. I never saw the Lord when I got saved. Did you? I never seen Him, and neither did you. But Jesus said this. He said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to come again. A little while you're going to see Me, and then a little while you're not going to see Me. Now, I've never seen the Lord Jesus, and neither have you. The Bible said God is a spirit, and we can't see spirit. The Bible said that no man has seen God at any time. We worship God. We serve God. We get saved by faith. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this. Here's what I'm trying to drive at. Though I did not see Him in the past. Peter said this, whom having not seen, who I have never seen. I didn't see Him when He got saved. I didn't see Him when He came to me that wonderful night and brought salvation to my heart. I didn't see Him back then. Did you? Are y'all out there now? I didn't see Him back then, and neither did you. But here's what He's saying. He said, though you did not see Him, something happened in your life. Something changed your life. Amen. What I heard was the word of faith. You remember the night that the word of faith was preached unto you, and you heard the word of God. You didn't see anything, but you heard Him, and you seen Him with the eye of faith, and you believed upon the Son of God. You remember that? You remember, hey, let me slow down a little bit here. I feel a little rush. Let me slow down a minute. You remember that night that the Lord revealed to your heart who the Lord Jesus Christ was? I remember that night so well. I was lost in sin and dying without God and couldn't get saved. I never heard the real gospel. Amen. But I remember the night I heard the word of my salvation, the word of truth, the gospel of my salvation. I heard the word of faith. Amen. I didn't see nothing that night, but I remember getting on my knees. Just give me a minute here. I'm going somewhere. I remember getting on my knees and I'd prayed, and I'd prayed, and I'd prayed, and I couldn't get saved. I'd tried, and I'd tried, and I'd tried, and I couldn't get saved. But I remember that night when I got down beside the couch, and I began to pray, and I said, Lord, I heard somebody say once that You just say, I plead the blood. I don't know what that means, Lord, but I'm going to try that. Amen. Brother Rudy, I got saying that night, and for about 30 minutes, I said, Lord, I plead the blood. Lord, I plead the blood. Lord, I plead the blood. Dear Lord, I plead the blood. There was a dam broke up inside of me, friend. Every time I'd plead that statement, something would break inside of me. After a while, I'm not talking about vision. I'm not talking about sight. I'm talking about having not seen. I never seen Him. But in my heart, in my mind's eye, in my soul, God revealed to me that Jesus Christ was a substitute for my sin. He had died for me. He had substituted His life and gave Himself for me. I never seen Him. Peter said, whom having not seen. Now, the first, this past aspect of seeing Him, seeing the unseen, was enough to save the soul. This past aspect, where you in your mind. John pointed him out one day when he said this. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Now I believe this with everything in me. Salvation is a supernatural working of God in your heart where He reveals to you who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a supernatural work. You can't believe the Lord on your own. You don't have faith. Now I don't mean to be mean here. I heard Charles Stanley say sometime a few years back, he said that faith is the same thing. Secular faith and supernatural faith is the same thing. He said believing God is like believing you open the door of your refrigerator and the light's going to come on, or you stick your foot in your shoe and you believe it's going to fit. Hey friend, there's a far cry difference in that and supernatural faith, that God lets you see the unseen Christ and believe on Him who you've never seen, and yet you stake your soul's eternal salvation on somebody you've never even seen. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Seeing the unseen Christ, having never seen Him. Well, you remember when you did that? And it changed your life. John put it this way in John 1:10. He said He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John chapter 20, He said to Thomas, He said, "Thomas, blessed are those that have never seen what you've seen, but yet they'll believe. I've never seen Him, but thank God I believed on Him to the saving of my soul." See, having not seen, that's past aspect. He said to that bunch of strangers, persecuted, troubled, hurting Christians, He said, "Listen now, you didn't see Him when you got saved." Now hear me a minute, I promise you this is going somewhere. He said, "You didn't see Him when you got saved." Amen. But it was enough to save your soul. You didn't see Him. What you did see was enough to save your soul. Look at the second truth here a minute. Look at the second truth. Look at what else He said. He said, "Whom," verse 8, "having not seen, you love, in whom, though now, you see Him not." Well, not only was there a past aspect to seeing the unseen Christ, that was enough to save the soul. But here's what He's fixing to drive at. There is a present application of seeing the unseen Christ, which is enough to strengthen you and sustain you in your struggles. Amen. Here's what He's saying. Hey, you didn't see Him when you got saved, but it was enough of faith to get you saved. And you can't see Him right now through what you're going through, but seeing the unseen Christ will help you get through your troubles right now. What you need to see is the unseen Christ. Are you listening to me? He's saying this is what you need to see. Now, Moses, the Bible said, and I'm just trying to hurry along here. Moses, the Bible said, endured by seeing Him who was invisible. Now listen to me a minute. I never saw Him back yonder. I know I'm repeating myself. That's all right. I never saw Him back there when I got saved. But what I did see was enough to get me saved. It was enough of faith to get me saved. What He said is, somehow I can keep my eyes on the same Jesus that saved me by the eye of faith. He'll get me through my struggles and my heartaches right now. You see, look at this a minute. Look there what He said in verse number 6. He said, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now." Look at verse 8. He said, "Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now." Now listen to this. Between the past aspect of seeing Him and now the present application of seeing Him, there is the now that we've got to live in. Amen. There's the now. What is the now about? What kind of life is now? Well, let me say two or three things right there. He said, number one, you're going to be in heaviness. In the now aspect. Well, how are you going to get through the now aspect of your heaviness, your sorrows, your heartaches, your tears, your broken hearts, your lonely nights? Are we going to take our eyes off of the one that we saw to the saving of our soul and put it on something and somebody else? Or are we to keep our eyes on the same one that we didn't see when we got saved? Hey, we're to still see the same one we didn't see when we got saved. We're still to see the unseen Christ. Moses endured by seeing Him. Oh, what I pray for in these days of my life is to see the unseen Christ. Oh, friend, don't let me be ugly here now. Lord, help me, Jesus, but I don't mean to be ugly. We've seen enough of man and their failures and falls and stumbles and tripping ups. And amen. We've seen enough of that to break anybody. Amen. And I tell you the one, praise God, that helps me when I get in my trouble, when I get heavy. It's seeing the one that I saw back yonder when He saved me. Let me give you something a minute. Can I give you something? I got to hurry here. You're going to eat at 5 inch, preacher. 5:30. Oh, I got long. I can slow down. Okay. Let me show you something here just a minute. Look here. When you look at that high priest in the Old Testament, you look at the high priest, that robe that he wore had a hole in the top of it. It was called a harbinger. And he'd stick his head through that hole. And all you saw when you saw the high priest going in and out of the temple, you know, in the tabernacle, you know what you saw? You didn't see his body. All you saw was the head of the high priest. Amen. He covered the body. Amen. You get your eyes on the body, the church at your pastor, and the troubles at your God, you'll be discouraged. But thank God, all we're to see is the head, the high priest, and His glory. It will keep our eyes on the head. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I've got my eyes on the body many times. But oh, when God let me get my eyes off the body and got my eyes back on the head, hallelujah, and see again the unseen Christ, it strengthened me in my heaviness. Oh, a lot could be said there. He said there's going to be some heaviness. And He mentions two things. He said, number one, you're going to now, you're going to have manifold temptations in your flesh. Look what He said in verse number 6. Wherein? You greatly rejoice. Go now for a season. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. He said in that now aspect of seeing the unseen Christ, you're going to have manifold temptations. May I say to you, that's exactly what I'm seeing. What about you? I don't know about you, but further I get, man, I used to think, listen to me now, I used to think, I'd been preaching about a year. I've been preaching 31 years this year, heading into the 32nd year. And I thought when I first started preaching, I thought when I'd hear them men been preaching 30 years, and I thought all I need is 30 years from now and everything's going to be all right. And it's going to be easier. I'm going to get all this experience under my belt. And I'm going to know how to handle all these problems and put down all these uprisings and how to preach better and be a better Christian. Everything's just going to be wonderful. And everybody's going to invite me over to the house and I'm going to eat hot ham. It's going to be wonderful. I found out I've been eating more cold shoulder than I did hot ham. Amen. And there's heaviness. There's going to be manifold temptations if you're a parent. There's going to be manifold temptations if you're a preacher. There's going to be manifold temptations if you've got a marriage partner. Everything you're going to go at, the devil's going to pull and persecute and hound you and trouble you. But He said this, though you didn't see Him when you got saved, you've got to keep your eyes on Him now that you are saved and know where your strength's going to lie. And you're going to have troubles. And a day goes by, I don't hear some preacher calling Harley, some missionary got troubles, got heartaches. Invariably, you know, may I say this kindly, and I hope it's helpful, but you know, invariably, when I hear people calling discouraged, they're never talking about the Lord when they're discouraged. And sink in, that's why. They never call me and say, preacher, I'm discouraged. I've been looking at the Lord lately. Preach, I've been so down. I've had my eyes on Jesus. Preach, I've been so down. God showed me a wonderful truth and I've been so down. No, they've always got their eyes on their troubles and their heartaches. He said that God's going to prove you. There's going to be manifold temptations in the flesh. There's going to be multiplied trials of our faith. In verse number 7, He said, your faith is going to be tried by the fire, and it's going to be tried more and more and more. It gets better. Just hang on here a minute. He said, your faith's going to be tried more and more and more. Do you find it so? I've never seen a day when it's so hard to live for God.
I'm just being honest about it. Ain't more troubles than I ever seen in my whole life. If I can have two meetings on Sunday, just two services on Sunday, and get out the door, both of them, and get to the house without a heavy heart, I've done good. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Preacher, you know what I'm talking about? If I can get to the house, brother, if I can just get to the house twice on Sunday without something happening or hearing something or somebody telling you something or somebody giving you one of them snide looks. And after a while, your faith starts getting hewed at and chopping at your faith and chopping at your faith. And is there really any cause for all this? Why do I want to keep going through all these heartaches and miseries and heaviness, and my faith keeps getting tried? He talks about a purging fire and a precious faith. Mrs. Spurgeon said this. I wrote it down. Mrs. Spurgeon said, a little faith will put your soul in heaven. But he said, a lot of faith will put heaven in your soul. I think that's pretty good. Just stay with me a minute. I'm going somewhere with all this, I promise you. He's saying, you need your faith worked on. But there's a priceless find here. Not only is there a purging fire and a precious faith, there's a priceless find. Notice what he said in verse 6. Wherefore? He said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, watch this now, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? Listen to this now. Oh, I wish I could get a hold of this. I wish I could get a hold of this. He's saying this. He said, when Jesus comes, those that kept believing Him and kept trusting Him and kept living by faith and walking by faith and trusting God, when Jesus comes, He said He's going to praise them that kept living by faith. Amen. There's going to be some commendation that the Lord is going to hand out. He's going to say, well done, well done, not thou good and workful servant, but well done, thou good and faithful servant, the one that's kept faith and believed God. Sometimes it's hard to believe God. Let's be honest about it. I preached a few weeks ago on Joseph and his hurts, and you know, we look back at it and we see the end story. I promise you, when Joseph is in the pit, it's hard to believe God. Some of you today, I don't know what you're going through. I struggle with this. I struggle with this. I struggle with this about today what to preach. Some of you, you may be going through some hard times. I'm telling you, the last few months of our life, I just had my gallbladder removed about 6 weeks ago, and I took 1 week out of the pulpit and went right back to preaching week in, week out, and everything going on at the church. Had a Sunday school teacher to get mad in adults class and quit, and everything broke loose. You can imagine our building popped the leak, and they're putting metal on it today, and everything in the world broke loose, and it seemed like sometime I thought, my soul, it sure don't feel too blessed right now to me, does it? You sometimes. I mean, when you get your faith gets tried, Brother Rudy, when the things you talked about here last year in the message I've thought about much through the year, and when your faith gets tried, it's hard to believe God. But God said when Jesus comes, He's going to praise them. I tell you who'll get the praise today now. It's that fellow that'll give up on the old-fashioned traditional way and stay with God and stay at the Bible. Amen. That fellow that'll go the way of the world and the convenient route and the easy Christianity and the contemporary route, the world's going to praise him. But you just hang around. You keep believing the Lord. You keep serving God. When Jesus comes, that crowd's going to have to take the back seat. It's going to be those that believe God that He's going to stand up and praise them and honor them and glorify them in the day that Jesus comes. That'll be the one. Are you listening? I had a fellow yesterday. It's homecoming at our church. I got to go on real quickly. Homecoming at our church, and about 5 minutes before the meeting started, one of the men come to the door and said, Pastor said, somebody's out here won't see you. I went up and he'd pulled just about on the porch of the church. I went up there and he was sitting in a little truck. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, you can just discern a spirit before you ever get to the car. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And boy, every step I took closer to that thing, I knew something wasn't right about it. And I just dreaded to even see him. I wanted to say, fellow, the driveway's right there. You're welcome to go out. Thank you for your amen. And that's what I wanted to say, but I didn't. I went to him, and there he sat and hadn't shaved, looked like in a week, and hair all fuzzed up and dressed up. And he spoke to me and said, I ain't seen you in a while. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I don't know who you are. And he told me. And I said, yeah, I remember you. And he used to molest his daughter at our church. And I told him one day if he'd done it again, I'd put a knot on his head. Somebody said, don't take the sword. I wasn't going to take the sword. I was going to take the five-bone thing. Yeah. He said, I ain't seen you in a while. I said, yeah, I know who you are. And he went on, I said, what are you doing now? Oh, he said, I've got my doctor's degree in theology, and I'm writing the theology book. I said, where do you go to church? He said, I don't go and don't believe in it. He said, ain't nothing but a money racket. He went on, and he said, I said, how much gospel do you preach? I said, don't believe in it. How many missionaries do you support? You ever want anybody to Christ? Don't believe in it. You want to argue. I tell you, friend, in a world like we're living in sometimes, it's hard to keep your faith intact when you see this world going crazy and a best bug and the world caving in and falling apart. But he said, you just wait around. Amen to God. You just wait around till the trump sound and Jesus comes. Amen. And you and I will be rewarded fair deeds and fair labor when Jesus comes. Now look here a minute what he said. He goes on, I could say a whole lot more there, but he goes on to say this. He talks about three things here. He says, number one, though we don't see Him now, in this present application, look at verse 8. Though we don't see Him now, whom having not seen, you love. He said, number one, though we see Him not, our love for Him is not dead. Oh, can I stop right there just a minute and go to meeting a little bit? Though we see Him not right now. I didn't see Him back there, but it was enough to save me. I don't see Him right now, but it's enough to help me in my struggles. Amen. And though I don't see Him right now, I still love Him. My love for Him is not dead. You say, preacher, how in the world can you love somebody you've never seen? Well, I can't explain it. I just know it's real. I know this, and I'm not trying to sound like somebody exalting myself. No, God knows that. But I know I love Him. I know I love Him. I've never seen Him, but I know I love Him. I don't just like Him. I've never seen Him, but I love Him. I thought I loved Him 31 years ago when I got saved. I thought I loved Him 10 years later. I thought I loved Him 20 years later. I thought I loved Him 30 years later. But I've passed 31 years now. And I tell you what I'm telling you. Having not seen Him yet. Amen. Yet. I love Him. Amen. One day the report come to Rebecca. One day the report come. Come. There's a fellow wanting to marry you. She heard about Him. She held the treasures in her hands, His treasure in her hand. She went out on a camel. She looked, and He was sitting out there in the field one day. She lighted off the camel. She already was in love with Him. I've never seen Him. I've never looked Him in the face. I don't know what exactly He'll look like, but I do know this. When He appears, I'll know Him. Praise God. I've been in love with Him for 31 years. He changed my life, saved my soul, took me out of many a dark and lonely night. But God living down inside delivered me from heartache and struggles. I still love Him. I still love Him. I've never seen Him. Can you say that? I've never seen Him. You say you can't love somebody you've never seen. But I still love Him. I've never looked Him in the eyes. But now, wait a minute. When Peter wrote this, he's not riding in a car like most of you wrote down here in me. He's not got a good salary like we've got. He wasn't sitting in a good air-conditioned building in a camp meeting. They will burn them at the stake. Killing them right and left. Peter said, although his persecutions and problems and sufferings and heartaches, death and dying all around you, and you ain't seen him, I still love him. I'll tell you, friend, listen, I wish there's some way to describe it. Y'all know what I'm trying to say in my weakness and infirmities. You remember many of them nights when heartaches and sea billows just rolled over your head and you seemed like you was consumed in troubles and heartaches and you went to him. And what you come out of that trial and what you come out of that heartache with was a deeper love. I don't understand this. I think maybe a little bit I do, but I really don't know the ways. I've heard people say, I went through heartaches and I come out of it hating him. I was angry at him. I don't know about all that. I guess it's possible maybe. I don't know about all that. I'm afraid to talk about something I don't know about. But I tell you what I do know. All the heartaches I've ever had, all the troubles I've ever had, all the lonely nights and brokenness I've ever had, Brother Robert. When I finally got through that trial and got down on my knees and got a hold of the Lord, I come out there, praise God, Him making love to my soul. Felt like me and Him was the only two in the whole world. Amen, friend. I'm telling you, come out of there loving the Lord. What happened to you with the trouble you're going through, all that heartache you've been put through, when you get on the other side of it, you'll find a deeper, more abiding love and appreciation for the Lord than you had when you went into it. Whom having not seen, we love. What he's saying is, and a lot I could say there, but I won't take the time to do it. What he's saying there is that where our love for him is not dead. He talked about several things there. He talked about God's gracious salvation in verse 2. The gifts of inheritance to His Son. Our glorious security. He said that there is a perfect inheritance waiting on us. I know. I want you to listen at me, man. A perfect inheritance waiting on us. Perfect. It's incorruptible. That's the same word he used about God in Romans 1:23. Change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man. He said that, listen, he said your inheritance is made out of the same stuff that God Himself is made out of. Amen. Your inheritance. Oh, friend, he said, I love him because there's an inheritance waiting on me that's perfect. Then he said, that inheritance is pure. It's undefiled. That's the same word used about Jesus in Hebrews 7:26. Our high priest is holy, harmless, undefiled. Your inheritance is not only made out of the same stuff God's made out of, it's made out of the same stuff Jesus is made out of. Which means this. Don't get excited now. It's just first night I came meeting. Listen, he's saying this. He's saying that what God's prepared for you is going to be in existence as long as God is. Ain't that wonderful tonight? I know that's primer stuff. That's down to earth stuff. Every once in a while, I like to kick the doors of heaven open, peep in. I've had enough heartaches this week. I've had enough troubles this week. But I got up this morning, and when the song I woke up singing this song. I've got a longing. I'm homesick to go to a land with no heartaches, no sadness or woe. 'Twill be goodbye to heartaches. I got singing that. I got in the chair and I got so happy. I'm telling you, friend, praise God. Waiting on the other side this evening. On the other side is something God prepared you. It's holy. It's harmless. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's waiting over there. Praise God for you and I. Just keep living for Jesus. Oh, you ain't seen Him and you'll never see Him in this life, but you still love Him and rejoice in what's waiting on the other side. He said, it's reserved for you. That'd do away with him falling from graces right there, wouldn't it? Reserved for you. I got into the motel room over there a while ago. Y'all know where I'm going. It's just simple preaching. I come into the motel room over there a while ago. Brother Connor, y'all was just coming out. I went in and a sweet lady there said, could I help you, sir? Real jolly like. And I said, yes, ma'am. Brother Buster Mullins, and I'm here with the Union, with the Welcome Baptist Church. And, oh, yes, Mr. Mullins, yes, yes, we've got you down. You think it's going to be a surprise when the long, dark night of their sorrow ends? Amen. Death comes calling, or the rapture comes. We split out of this life. We step over into the other world, and the Lord's going to say, who are you now? Who are you now? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mr. Mullins, been expecting you since before the foundation of the world. Had a place made for you. Just for you. Prepared for you. Amen. And we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Amen. You ain't going to get there on your own power. Amen. You ever look that word kept up? It speaks of being in a fortress with a garrison of soldiers encamping round about you. That all the time, y'all give me just a minute, all the time, Brother Caldwell, you're inside of a fortress. And there's a band of soldiers garrisoned around you. And he's watching you all the time. He's got his eye because he knows he's going to make it, get you through. He's going to see to it and keep you. That, praise God, that land that he's made for you, that home he's made for you. I know it's simple, but I'm going to rejoice a little bit in it. This day. Every once in a while, we need to quit going down so deep and just remind ourselves there is a holy heaven. There's a God's heaven. There's a place that God prepared for the redeemed. That after a while, when our heartache and our trouble's over, I'm going to watch you. I'm going to garrison you. Psalm 139 said it this way. He said, he knows my down cities. And he knows my uprisings. Would y'all help me here just a minute, friend? I know I'm preaching simple, but I'm trying to enjoy it a little bit anyhow. That don't mean he just knows when you sit down and where you sit down. He knows, dear brother, why you need that cane. He saw you tonight, Brother Joe, when you had to. You remember, Brother Joe, when you could just get out and pray and just jump up? I have to use these to get up anymore. I have to push. He knows all them ailments and pains. He said he's beset us before. He's like an army in front of us. And he's beset us behind. He's acquainted with all my ways. Hey, man to God. Hey, man to God about to get plugged in. I'm telling you, that means whatever you're going through today, he's acquainted with that. Whatever you brought into that back door with you. He saw you when you sat down. He'll see you when he get up. He hears all those ohs and ahs and oohs and uhs. Both in the body and in the spirit. He's acquainted with all our ways. You ever listen? Listen. Do you ever get it? He has compassed us. That means you're a little dot inside a circle. I got to hurry here. And inside of there's you. And he's all around you. Oh, now think about that a minute. Anything that can get in there has got to go somewhere through out here. And if it's going to get to you in there, it's got to go through this to get to you. Amen. I'm glad this evening I'm helping myself ain't helping you. I'm glad, praise God, and the Lamb forevermore. I'm compassed. He's beset me and compassed me. I'm safe. I'm secure inside Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to make it to heaven. Amen. Amen. He said, though, now you're in heaviness. He said, though now you can't see Him. You still got an inheritance. You still love Him. But notice the second thing He said right quickly. No, our love for Him is not dead in verse 8. Notice what else He said in verse 8. Look at the rest of it. Whom having not seen, you love. Wait a minute. In whom though now, you seem not. Yet believing. He said, number one, though you don't see Him now, your love for Him is not dead. But He said, number two, though you see Him not now, our life in Him is not doubtful. He said, don't make no difference what kind of trouble I'm having. I'm still believing Him, though I ain't seen Him.
Anybody out there? Amen. I'm having a good time up here where y'all are not. Amen. I'm about to get liberated up here just a little bit. He said, hey, our love for Him's not dead, though I can't see Him. But my life in Him is not doubtful, though I cannot see Him. Yet I'll still believe Him. When I can't see Him, I'll still trust Him. That's what Job said. Job said, He knows though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job said, I looked for Him in front of me and didn't find Him. I looked for Him behind me and I couldn't find Him. I looked to my right and I couldn't to my left and I couldn't see Him nowhere. But He said in the next verse, but He knows the way that I take. Amen, Job said, though He slay me, though these heaviness, struggles, heartaches, tears, loneliness, brokenheartedness, though these things are going to get me down, all of my trials and heartaches are going to get me down, He said, I'm still going to love Him. And He said, I'm still not going to doubt Him. My love's not dead. My life's not doubtful. I'm still going to believe Him. That's an amazing thing, really, when you stop and think about it. I told our church the other day, I said, if you all were smacked, kicked, bit, talked about, run down, hated, lied on, had people to walk off and leave you as much as a preacher, there'd be an empty church today. It's an amazing thing that we can still trust somebody who's never, who we've never seen. You stop and think about that a minute. And trust somebody. Brother, I don't know you. Have we ever met? We've never met. Now, I hope you don't get hurt at me right here. What's your name?
Randy.
Randy. What?
Phillips.
It's Phillips. Randy Phillips. Brother Randy, I don't know why I can trust you or not. You know why? I don't know you.
Yeah. Right.
I ain't never seen you. Right. I don't know nothing about you. Right. Now, you understand where I'm at here, preacher. But it's an amazing thing. I've never seen the Lord. But I've hung everything I've got on Him. And in a world looks like everything's caving in, the old-fashioned Christian is still saying, trust the Lord. They'll say, how in the world do you trust somebody you don't even see? I don't know. It's an amazing thing. But He's put something down in our spirit. I mean, let's think about it just about 2 or 3 minutes here before we go to eat. Let's think about just 2 or 3 seconds here. If a woman come up to you and told you that she's expecting a baby, but she's never known a man, would you believe her? I mean, let's be honest. I know y'all know where I'm going, so you're afraid to say, uh-uh. Would you believe her? I wouldn't believe a word of that. But I'll read in the Bible where a woman who had never known a man. And I'm telling you the God's truth of heaven, I don't doubt that. Something inside me makes me believe that. If Benny Rooster come on TV tomorrow, I mean Benny Hinn, and said, I raised somebody from the dead last night, would y'all believe that stuff? Well, of course you wouldn't. But I'll read in the Bible where Jesus died and got up a third day. I don't have a bit of problem believing that. I ain't never seen Him. But I still love Him. And I still believe Him. And I still trust Him. And thank God there have been a many a night when it looked like nothing was going to break. And I just kind of tried to believe God a little bit. You say, preacher, you say try. That's right. Don't be up there and brag on your faith. It ain't a whole lot bigger than mine. Sometimes all I can do is say, oh God, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Amen. I tell you, hallelujah. When God sees just a little bit of faith, amen to God, it'll raise you up and pick you up and strengthen you. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Oh, He said, I don't see Him, but my love for Him's not dead. Although I don't see Him now, He said, my life in Him's not doubtful. I'm not going to take the time. Our time's getting away. He talks about 2 or 3 reasons our life in Him's not doubtful. He talks about the writings of the seers in verse 10 and 12. He talked about what the prophets wrote about. He talked about the witness of the sermons in verse 12. How the men preached the Word of God with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. He said, you have a reason to believe what you believe. You've got the Scriptures of the Old Testament and the Scriptures of the New Testament to believe. I wish I could put this in words. I'm about done here. I wish there's some way I could put this in words. How you can believe God when it don't look like you ought to believe. Abraham against all hope. Believed. I remember my old grandmother. She's in heaven this evening. Only saint of God I ever knew. All the rest of my people's drunks and it was awful. My old grandmother, she loved God. I've seen her Brother Robert, she'd go out to an old elm tree and she'd cut little old sticks. She never owned a toothbrush in her life. And she'd take that old elm stick and she'd rub her teeth after she eat. Any of y'all ever hear that? You say, I'm afraid to do that to my teeth. When she died at 86, she only had one tooth out of her head. Most of us got them false uppers and downers. And I'd see my old grandma when I first got saved and trouble would come. She'd sit out on the porch and I'd go say, Ma, I don't know what to do. She'd take that old elm stick and sit in that swing and just rub him teeth. She'd say, honey, just trust the Lord. Oh, that we'd just tell our kids that again. Oh, we could just tell them again, just trust the Lord. And I'd go back to her a few weeks later and she'd say, honey, how'd that work out? I'd say it worked out, Ma. And I'd get in trouble again and I'd go see her and she'd sit there and rub him elm stick on him elm stick in them teeth. She'd say, honey, just trust the Lord. You know what I learned over the years? You know what? Though I can't see him. He ain't going to come down, Brother Rudy. Brother Robert, he ain't going to come down. He ain't going to come down, Brother Rudy, and just stand in your face and let you see him. And just hug you up and hold you. And where you can see him. He said, though you don't see him, there's something inside you.
Yes, sir.
That you still to see. He's got to be in control.
Amen.
This has got to be a God. God can work His thing out. It's going to be all right. Praise God. Though I can't see Him, Miss Dorothy, though we can't see Him right now, honey, it's going to be all right. Then He makes another statement there, Hurley, and I'm about done. He says in verse 8, our love's not dead, though we can't see Him now. And He says our life's not doubtful, though we can't see Him now. But He says again in verse 8, look at it one more time with me there. He said, whom having not seen, we love, our love's not dead. And whom though now we see not, yet we believe, our life in Him's not doubtful. He said, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. He said, our lips are not dull. We don't sit around and pop pills all day. Oh, my soul, I'm about done, Brother Robert, here. Amen. It might not be the best time to preach, but I'm going to try it anyhow. He said, there'll still be when you believe Him, though you can't see Him if you love Him, and though you can't see Him if you still believe Him. He said, the day will come, praise God, that you'll be able to still rejoice in Him. Oh, how you can shout through heartaches. And y'all ever know Brother Ralph Hoffman over at Morningstar Baptist Church and Brother Ronnie Young's at right now. Any of y'all ever know Brother Hoffman? Anybody? When Brother Hoffman died, he got cancer and he pastored there for years. Great preacher, Brother Hoffman was. When he died, Brother Joe, Brother Hoffman died. He got cancer and tried everything in the world, every kind of medicines and things to try to help himself, and he still died. And the day he lay a corpse at the funeral, old Sister Hoffman, that had been with him for almost 50 years, she come by, and it's on the tape, son. She about tore that place down. How can you shout when you're the one you love the most is laying dead? Oh, whom having not seen, you can still rejoice. You can still rejoice. Ain't it odd how you get in that old church service and somebody gets to singing? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. He is mine. He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine.
something, even though it's dark, even though it's hard where you're at right now, something way down inside starts working. And it works up some joy. And you say, in the morning, it's going to be over. In the morning, I'm going to see Jesus. Amen. Let me close here. Let me close. I've got to hurry here. Them back grubs are waiting. Look at the last truth. I said I'd preach it on seeing the unseen Christ. In verse 8, he talks about the past aspect of seeing the unseen. It was enough to save the soul. In verse 8, he talks about the present application of seeing the unseen. And it's enough to strengthen us in our struggles. But look at this now in verse 7. And I'm done. That the trial of your faith been much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's the prophetic anticipation of seeing the unseen Christ. And here's what he's saying. Give me attention just a minute and I'm done. Here's what he's saying. Though you didn't see him in the past, it was enough to save your soul. Though you don't see him in the present, it's enough to strengthen you in your struggles. But he said that, I want you to understand something. Just because you have never seen him does not mean that you're never going to see him. He said someday he's going to come. And we're going to see the one that we've been trusting to save our soul. And we've been trusting to strengthen his inner struggles. We're going to see him when he comes, when he appears. There is a present application. There is a past aspect. But there is a prophetic anticipation. And it is enough to satisfy our spirit until we see him. And look at this, and I'm done. I'll give it to you very briefly, and I'm closing. He says, when he comes, we'll see the fullness of his grace. He mentions present grace in verse 2, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He mentions the prophesied grace in verse 10, who prophesied of the grace that should come. So there's present grace in verse 2. There's prophesied grace in verse 10. But notice this, there is permanent grace in verse 13. Look at it. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, watch this a minute. Buddy just got a hold of me the other day, and I can't even tell it. There ain't enough words to explain it. He talked about how the prophets talked about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should come. He's saying, listen now. He's saying, if the grace that you experienced when you got saved was so good, and the grace that you've experienced in your struggles in the now aspect of seeing Him, how much more is that grace going to be multiplied when He comes in the revelation? And if we experience glory in the past aspect of salvation, and if we experience glory in the present aspect of our salvation, what about the glory that we're going to experience in the revelation? Now, I want you to really stop and think about that a minute. I know everybody in this building has been saved any amount of time and stayed true to a faithful, independent, fundamental Bible church. There's been some time in your church, and I'm done, I promise you, when God came around to where you felt like you had just about been transported. You remember the grace? I don't know what kind of life y'all lived before you got saved. I don't know what kind of life I lived. It was a miserable existence, literally. I remember the grace that came to me and changed my life and liberated me and set me free. And oh, it's been a wonderful, I don't have nothing to complain about. God's been good to me. But if it was that good in salvation, and that same grace strengthened you in your struggles, how wonderful must it be when, I'm trying to describe it and I'm done. If it was that wonderful in the past aspect when you got saved, and it's that wonderful in the present aspect in your struggles, how wonderful must it be? May I back up one more time? If it's that wonderful by seeing the unseen, How wonderful will it be when we see the seen? When our eyes actually see what our eyes of faith have been seeing. I'm telling you, it's just, you can't explain it. How wonderful it must be. When, whether by the rapture or by death, I step in to that land. Oh, my. Oh. Queen of Sheba said, behave. Oh, my. And then, Brother Joel, I see the one that I've been loving and I've been believing and I've been walking with. And he's been making love to my soul. I actually said, oh, I believe it's everything in me. I believe I'll know him when I see him. I may not recognize Moses. I might not recognize Paul. Elijah might have to tell me who he is. But brother, I believe I'll know him. Believe I'll know him. Oh, I'm trying to hush. That day of the resurrection, old Mary said to Jesus, she said, where have you laid him? I'll get him and I'll carry him away myself. If you just tell me where you've laid him. And he said, all he said to her was, Mary.
Right. Amen.
Mary. Rabboni. My Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, I believe I'm going to step into that land.
Come on.
And he speaks my name. I'll say to my wife, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's him. That's the one that spoke in my name when I got saved. That's the one that spoke my name when I struggled. That's the one that kept me through my heartaches. All we need this evening, folks, is to see the unseen. Let's stand by to pray. Someone come to the instruments. Brother Robert, you come. Has the heartaches of this life taken your eyes off of Jesus? Have you got your eyes on the body instead of the Lord? Let me have your attention just a second before we pray. Let me have your attention just a minute. God just running through my mind right while I started getting me a drink of water. Many years back, I don't know why I read this. I read this many years back. A great photographer who took a lot of pictures and sold them as Christian pictures. They said to him one day, they said, we want you to take a picture to try to describe the grace of God. And he said, that'll be hard. They said, you take a picture now. Whatever you can take that you think is the best description of the grace of God that you know to take. He thought for about a year before he could take a picture. And one day it dawned on him what to take. He went to New York. And he stood up over Niagara Falls. And he took a picture as that water run over the falls. And he wrote, as the water came down over the falls, he wrote in that water that's falling, he wrote the word grace. And then he went way back up the stream in small letters. And he wrote these little words. There's more coming. Grace. There's more on the way. If it's that good down here, with the eyes of faith, there's more on the way.
Amen.
When we see Him. Let's bow to pray. If you need grace, why don't you come and say, Lord, let me see this evening the unseen in my life. Lord, I'm having heartaches. Lord, let me see the unseen. Brother Robert, you come. Will you come right now and say, Lord, I need grace. Will you come, folks? Seeing the unseen Christ. Come on, put
you. This altar's open. It might just be that we need to get our eyes off of the body and on the head. Start the meeting off today.